house, male sex, and candy. Yeah. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, this surely is a dream.
Ascension! Flying solo, live from Las Vegas. This is a very lonely edition of Spank Wagon Radio. I am your humbled host, all alone here, in my room all alone with no clawed balls. I have no balls. I've said that over the air. And yes, this is being recorded, so anybody who downloads this will know I have no balls. But tonight, we're kind of flying a little bit alone here because some major changes with the wagon. I'm sure if anybody's actually a regular that's listening, aside from Reverend Hammer, our confirmed listener, and my very humble, I guess I could call you a stenographer tonight because you are recording it. So let me give the props to Reverend Hammer. But Claude had a change in shift at work, which means that pretty much he's going to be working on Sunday nights or Sunday mornings. He went to an AM shift, so that kind of leaves me out in the dust because normally him and I had the same shift and it made it pretty easy for us to actually do our thing. So, basically, it's just me this evening and what we're going to do is we're going to just do some music, do a little bit of stuff that I've collected and you will hear a little bit of Claude actually because him and I finally cornered the Flying J and got one of these infamous Flying J stories out of him. So, basically, what I'm going to do, first I'm going to clip up some music, and then the first thing I'm going to load is actually for Reverend Hammer. It's called the Don't Damn Me. Basically, it's his first attempt at doing anything for Spank Wagon Radio. I think it sounds pretty good. Let's hope you think it is, does as well. So what I'll do is first I'll clip in a little bit of tunage, finish out this little song, then we'll go right into the first segment. After that, I'll be back, and I'll cover some news and opinion. So we'll be back in a little bit, folks.
On a vision, here comes that bull requisition. Paradise wild, that's how we live it. Don't be style on a red killer. Things be blowing up all day like my soul killer. When I press, it's time to party. So you can go ahead, hit the surf, break out and run McCarty. Mass films on the rise again. With the summertime rhymes, so those out there's minds again. Hit it on a down low. Put something for your cheap for the beach or your condo. The summertime's here. Girls in bikini with their sunscreen glow and I don't care. As far as the eye can see, there's 100 beach ponies on the beach and they're jocking me. Now that's the lit and it's a pity that you and yours ain't lounging in the city. That's why I'm the pick of the club.
Hardcore, 24 years of living, I've been exposed to a wide range of music. When I was growing up, my mother always had me listen to 50s, 60s, 70s rock music. And as I grew older, I came to enjoy more newer styles, hard rock, heavy metal, some rap. And I've come to form quite a few opinions on some of this music, and also some of the issues surrounding it. So, this is going to be my topic for tonight, music. As you may have heard from various media outlets, it seems that pop music is dying, yet again. And to this I say thank God, because a lot of it I have found so vapid and bland that I don't even know how it even sells. I mean, admittedly, there is a big marketing machine that pushes it to all get out, but if people just sit and think about it for a moment, I'd say it all sucks. But thankfully for those of us who are a little better-minded, it's going away. But there is one little tidbit I did pick up concerning pop music. And admittedly, this was from Star Magazine, one of the tabloids, so its validity may be a little shaky. But I'm going to give it to you anyway, because I'm hoping you'll find it as amusing as I did. Apparently, there is a party where pop star Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears were both invited to, and they both did show up. Well, apparently they wanted to get a photo shoot with the both of them, and Christina Aguilera was overheard saying, "I do not want to be seen with that teeny bopper trash." And all I have to say to this is, teeny bopper trash. Yeah, honey, and you're any better, uh-huh. Yeah, we all believe that. Well, enough with pop music. I'm going to go into one of the genres that I really, really enjoy, hard rock and heavy metal. Now, thankfully, this has been coming back again with bands like Slipknot and a few others, but I'm also noticing a disturbing trend in hard rock, and that is whiny music. Now, while I do enjoy some of the styles some of these bands have, like Edema and whatnot, you know, their playing's really good, but why are they always writing woe is me type lyrics? I mean, don't these guys have anything positive to say? I mean, where's like the build you up, we're not going to take it anymore type music? I mean, Rage Against the Machine aside, where is this just like this fun, powerful rock music that we used to enjoy during the 80s and such? I mean, and as of right now, I think there's only two people that could do whiny music enjoyably. One is Aaron Lewis of Staind, and for those of you who listen to the band, I think you'll understand why, and Leonard Cohen. Everybody knows the dice are loaded, and everybody knows Kobe Dick can shut the fuck up. For all those who do not know who Kobe Dick is, or Jacoby Cicadas, or John Lydon, or whatever the hell he's calling himself now, he's the lead singer of Papa Roach, who about a year or so ago had the hit Last Resort. If you ever want to know how much this song got on my nerves, send me an email, get a hold of one of my net friends, and talk to us about it. I mean, dear God, I wrote a parody for this song. If you want to see the lyrics, give me an email, I'll send it your way. We need uplifting music, and especially with what's going on in the world today, we need it now. So, all you guys with your Les Pauls and your hammer basses, chop chop, get to it. One of the issues that has been surrounding the music industry has been copy protection. As we know, the RIAA was not happy with peer-to-peer file sharing. I mean, we saw what happened in Napster, and it's pretty close to happening with Kazaa now. So, they've been taking steps to circumvent this. So we're getting copy protection like we normally see on PC games and some of the applications in music. Now, normally you just hear the little people cry about this, but we have heard one big player in the game complain. That player is Philips, one of the developers of CD technology, and also the copyright owner of the CD logo, that nice little logo you see on every CD. Now, here's the thing. Philips has said, for anybody who puts out a CD with copy protection, they cannot use that logo. So, it's a CD, but not a CD. I find this amusing. One thing I wished the companies would learn about copy protection: if it can be played, it can be copied. One of the big ones that's being used right now, Cactus Data Shield, has been circumvented by way of a felt tip pen. I wonder if they're going to make felt tip pens illegal now. Who knows? Anyway, the RIAA has said multiple times that online music sharing has just totally cut into profits, but I have seen a report to the contrary. Jupiter Media Metrics, an analyst of listening and watching trends in the public, has said people who share MP3s are more likely to buy music in the stores. Well, the RIA obviously did not like this, and in fact came back with a rebuttal statement saying that they did not cover one group, which was the under 18 demographic, which they didn't. Now, I'm going to take a moment here to play devil's advocate. The under 18 demographic is where a lot of the record labels are trying to market to. I mean, those are the people they're trying to push, bands like NSYNC, O-Town, Britney Spears, Jennifer Lopez, and all that. But the under 18 group is also the group that doesn't have a lot of money, so it's obvious they're going to download music instead of spending $20 a pop on CDs. Now, personally, I don't see where the problem is. These no-talent shitheads that the record labels are trying to push on these poor, unsuspecting kids don't deserve a dime anyway. But that's just me. I think a little differently. But I will go at you one better. Verizon and Kazaa are wanting to work together to pay the royalties and whatnot for music downloads. In fact, Kazaa lobbyist Phil Corwin would like to implement a $1 a month fee per user for each ISP, and he says this alone would generate $2 billion yearly. An extra dollar a month to download music? Shit, here's $2 a month. Yeah, I'm all for it, fine, and I know a lot of my friends would be, they've said so. But Recording Industry Association of America President Hillary Rosen calls the proposal, quote, the most disingenuous thing I've ever heard. It's ridiculous. Well, Ms. Rosen, I really highly doubt you were listening to this program, but if you are, or hopefully one of your little lobbyist friends are listening to this, they'll pass the message on. I have one thing to say to you from the bottom of my heart. Fuck you, you gold-digging twat. Well, that's all I have for this evening. Hope you enjoy it. If you have any comments, questions, funny things you want to send me, you can email me at reverendhammer@yahoo.com. Just remember, there is no A in reverend. A lot of people do that. Don't do it. You'll get nothing. So, on that note, hope you have a nice night. God bless. This segment has been brought to you by Spankwagon Radio, which is located at spankwagon.n3.net, a service of vftp.net. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to reverendhammer@yahoo.com.
Wait, don't give up. It gets better.
It's a psychobilly freak out!
Well, now that was interesting. Thank you very much, Reverend Hammer, for the Don't Damn Me. That's a very good segment. And as a matter of fact, to kind of explain what's been going on, I do want to cover a little bit of site news. You can kind of get a little bit of more update. What's going on with the Spank Wagon? And why we have people such as the venerable Reverend Hammer producing segments? Basically, what's been going on in the past few weeks, almost a month, since our last actual broadcast that Claude and I both participated in, was that a few changes were made to Live 365. The first change being that they changed every single person who does serving through them to a dynamic IP. What that means is that if you are online trying to broadcast, every single time I have to start up my stream, which you can receive, it is a different IP address. So that forces me then to point you all to Live365's website that I have a page on, and then you have to follow the download instructions and get the actual playlist. Here's the trick with that. If you get a legitimate playlist, you are therefore going to get their advertising. Before, if you didn't have to get a playlist, you could, 9 times out of 10, skip their advertising. So if you do tune into Spankwagon and you hear something about, you know, free this or checkoutthis.com, and it's not me, or it's not Claude, or any of my little, sorry folks, any of my associates, it's going to be spam radio advertising. But that's okay, because I'm still on the air. It's still free, because that was my big concern, it wasn't free. And I'm going to still keep trying to put this shit out. Now, just so you all know, according to the website, pretty soon, actually, on the website, probably a little later on in the week, when I update it, I'm also going to let you know that we're changing days. Spankwagon Radio is no longer going to be on Sunday live. What we're looking at doing is actually me and Claude are actually able to rework our schedule so both of us can be together on Wednesday evenings. We're going to still do it at the same time. Hell, folks, if you could stay up on a Sunday night until 10, 11, 12, whatever time it is in your time zone, you damn well better be able to do it on a Wednesday. What the hell is it going to do on a Wednesday, huh? Nothing. Nada. No big change. So you're just going to have to like it. Other things with Spankwagon, I wanted to point out that links, we have links. Check them out. Spankwagon.n3.net. Hit the links icon, or links, link. Check it out, because Claude Balls, he slaves for you. He does it just for you, folks. Remember this, just for you. Also with the site, got a little bit up for Blender for Brains. It kind of explains what's going on a little bit. It's mostly just me yammering off, so you can go and check it out. Now, one other thing I want to mention about Spankwagon right now is Kilroy is on a sabbatical. Basically, Kilroy decided that, you know, he needs to go do his thing, so he's going to be away from all things electronic, my understanding, for at least 2 months, 3 months? Oh, and I've got this from Reverend Hammer. I need to let you know that echo wasn't supposed to be there. He's not meaning to do, like, any echo or fade effects. That's just my broadcast and how it actually played it through. So if you hear the echo, it's not Reverend. It's me! Me! Okay, bad joke. How we doing, folks? All right. If you want to know who I am, or you're listening to me, or you found me somehow by any way, I don't know how, spankwagon.n3.net, I am the Trencher this evening, flying solo without Claude Balls. I'm looking over the chair, and it's just empty. Notice no Claude. Claude would say something witty about now. Okay, so, other things we got going on this evening. I want to cover up some news. Now, news, wow. I've got some great articles here that I just kind of want to read to you, and some of these things are a little dated, but that's because I pulled them for our 2 weeks ago show, about the 16th or so. Basically, first off, I love this. A lot of people have basically been accusing our government of saying, hey, you knew about September 11th. Hell, there's one guy out there that's trying to do a $5 billion lawsuit against the government. He's filing it right now, folks. I think he's in California. I'm not quite sure. I didn't get the information. But there's a lot of controversy on this. Did they know? Did they not know? I don't know. With X-Files now gone, I'm sure we'll never get the answer. Also, other good news and bits. Going to tag on what Reverend Hammer said there in the Don't Damn Me segment. The DCMA. He mentioned something that the felt tip marker could become illegal because it's a tool that is used to circumvent copy protection. Yes, that is written in the DCMA. The felt tip marker, or any tool that is used to circumvent copy protection, is considered illegal. Stock up on your felt tip markers now, folks. We may not have them soon, if Uncle Sam says so. Also, the media. How did we learn about the DCMA problem, or the copy marker hacker thing? Think about this. We heard it from the news sources. According to the DCMA, you also might be getting, the news sources might also be getting sued. You see, it's also illegal, according to the DCMA, to print, publish, or tell other people in a broadcast manner how to circumvent the whole copy process or copy protection process. In other words, the marker is now illegal because it was used to, you know, hack the CD. And, of course, people like Reuters, Associated Press, your local newspaper, CNN, Time, not CNN, but, or not Time, excuse me, CNN, USA Today, anything you can think of, they can get literally sued. So, what does the DCMA do for us? Well, let's see. First off, it makes it illegal to do anything we want with stuff that we have purchased. In other words, I have bought the CD. I want to do what I want with the CD. Thank you, DCMA. I can't. Also, the DCMA says it's more important than the First Amendment. So remember that, folks. You want to lose your First Amendment? Talk about the DCMA. Talk about a marker that can hack a disc by taking it on the outside silver rim so that way you can block the track reading. Oh, I guess I'm going to get sued. Fuck you. Alrighty, folks. What other news do I have here? I covered Live 365. Government, DCMA, CARP. Yeah, you are hearing me right. CARP. Remember I was talking about that a couple weeks ago. About a month ago. CARP. Basically what it is, if you don't know, you're an idiot, you're under a rock, who cares? CARP is basically where a lot of the RIAA decided that, you know, the web broadcasters need to pay for broadcasting music, which really I'm not against because, you know, this supposedly is going to the artists and this is their royalty fees. However, the problem is that they're really not going to get a lot of money off of this. Now, the Library of Congress, you know, they wanted to do a 0.014 cent per song per listener. I think I worked it out that if I actually had some sort of miracle 100 listeners, you know, times one song, that's, you know, $1.40, keep taking that on and on and on. Well, it got rejected by the Library of Congress. So someone go hug your librarian today. The Librarian of Congress basically said that it wasn't, you know, he denied it, he rejected it. Problem is, they're taking it back to the table in June 21st. We're going to see what has been rewritten by the Library of Congress. Does this mean we're out of the woods yet, folks? No. He did reject it, but he never really stated why. He didn't state if it was too much or not enough. He didn't state that if it didn't meet some sort of, like, legal copyright agreements or what. Now. So, be prepared. Spankwagon is still in danger, like every single net radio. Remember, it's a new technology. We gotta be afraid of it. Right, Uncle Sam? Gotta be afraid of it. Let's cover some other news, shall we? It's been a good news day. As you can tell, I've kind of printed some stuff out with my crappy printer. Pulled this one from the Observer. I think Warner should stomp all over the RIAA. See, Warner can't. Warner has a lot of investment in the RIAA. No theater will. You've got all of these entities working together in California. Not Warner, Ted Turner. Well, why the hell did you write Warner there, Reverend? I'm reading this off the chat, folks. If you want to chat with the wagon, if you are hearing me live, you can go to chat.yahoo.com. I'm spankwagon_radio. Give me a look up. And I thought the DCMA was considered unconstitutional in the Supreme Court. No, it was not considered unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. It did pass with flying colors. No one has attacked the constitutionality of the DCMA. Moving on, though, since I am just chatting with the Yahoo chat here, and I'm sure you all are really bored listening to my voice by now, wanted to point out the observer.co.uk. They get, of course, a British site getting information about the American Army and Armed Forces. Has a great article. Says here, the headline, U.S. plans to strike enemy with Valium. Valium. Basically what they're doing is the U.S. government is designing these non-lethal weapons. One of them is actually a genetically engineered bug that will actually consume petroleum products. Now let's think about this. You set the bug on the enemy's tank and it eats all the enemy's gas. Right. Why is it that weapons that we create usually end up used against us more often than others? Let's think about this. Just think about this. We design a weapon, it is so cool we sell it to who? Foreign powers, other countries, you name it. They get to buy it, they get to use it on us when we decide, or they decide that they don't like us anymore. Yay! I love our government. Sometimes all we are is nothing but, you know, supply and demand whores. I swear to God. Another weapon that they're talking about is a Valium spray. Basically, it's an on-contact Valium. If you know what Valium is, you pop it a couple and you get kind of mellow. So you're on a battlefield and someone hits you with a squirt gun. Not a gun. No, it may look like a gun. Hell, it may sound like a gun, but it's going to spray water. Think of all those cool water guns we had when we were kids. You get hosed and all of a sudden everything's just kind of mellow and all you want to do is lay down and go to sleep and relax and chill. Wow. Anywho, I love our government. We're going to attack them with Valium. So, moving on. These are really old stuff. I might actually start covering these in a little bit. Matter of fact, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to click up to some music and finish up a song, and then we're going to hear the last of the Week in Geek. Now, this is originally supposed to air two and a half weeks ago. However, I was not able to broadcast. No one was able to receive. wasn't able to play it. But this is the last Kilroy Week in Geek for quite a while, actually. So what we're going to do is play it. Keep in mind that it's a little dated, though. Enjoy. It is Kilroy, and you are listening to SpankWagon.N3.net, SpankWagon Radio. I'm really fucking it up tonight, folks. Let's click to the music.
Tonopah, Nevada. The 92-year-old nursing home resident, Frank Weltbottom, accused of putting chicken pot pies in mailboxes in five states, told authorities he was trying to make an anarchy pattern on the map, a sheriff said Thursday. The first 16 pot pies were arranged in two lines, one in Illinois and Iowa, and the other in Nebraska. On a map, the lines could resemble the left upstroke and crosshatch of the 1980s heavy metal anarchy symbol, employed by bands such as Motley Crue and Warrant. The final chicken pot pies, found in Colorado and Texas, form an arc that could be the beginning of a circle going around the big A completing the symbol. There was a comment made to one of my officers about his hope to make an anarchy symbol when he was all finished, Juxtapalu County Sheriff Penisalong said. Salong said Frank Weltbottom made the comments to an undercover county officer shortly after his arrest outside Tonopah on Tuesday. His demeanor was very jovial. He looked very well fed and smelled like carrots and gravy, the sheriff said. An FBI official would not comment on the sheriff's report, but did use the report to shade his eyes in the bright Nevada sun. Meanwhile, Weltbottom's parents, Red and Sticky Weltbottom, met with their son at the county jail in Tonopah for a half hour. They were separated by glass and spoke by telephone. "We are here to see our son in his hour of need," Sticky Weltbottom told reporters afterwards. "We told him we love him. I feel a lot better knowing he's been eating right." Weltbottom faces federal charges in Illinois, Nebraska, and Iowa, where his initial court appearance is scheduled for Friday. At a hearing Wednesday, U.S. Magistrate Boom Boom Lanabrona Wapabna denied a request to release Weltbottom to the custody of his parents. "It's apparent to me that he suffers from some health problems," Lanabrona said. "Every 2 hours or so, Frank is on the toilet screaming in agony, and I don't feel the parents will be of much help to him. The doctors have him on a slow Metamucil drip and don't expect him to be fit for travel for at least several weeks." If convicted, Weltbottom could be sent to prison for life. Red Weltbottom said he expects legal proceedings to be a long process. "It's already been very hard on us," he said. "Our heart goes out to the families of the victims." The FBI said Weltbottom placed 18 chicken pot pies in mailboxes in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Colorado, and Texas, along with anti-bird's eye notes. 6 of the chicken pot pies were eaten last Friday, injuring 4 letter carriers and 2 residents. The 8 chicken pot pies in Iowa and Illinois were found in rural locations that form an uneven ring about 70 miles in diameter. The Nebraska chicken pot pie sites, about 350 miles away, form a ring about 90 miles across. The other chicken pot pies were found hundreds of miles away, one in Salida, Colorado, the other in Amarillo, Texas. The FBI issued an alert for Weltbottom after his father called police Monday night about letters from his son that included references to death, anti-bird's eye comments, and the phrase, "Mailboxes will smell delicious." The same phrase was in the notes found with the chicken pot pies. Authorities said Frank Weltbottom has confessed to making 24 chicken pot pies out of a delectable blend of chicken, peas, carrots, and his own secret gravy recipe. The final 10 chicken pot pies, found in mailboxes, and the 6 found in his car were not prepped for immediate dining, authorities said. Weltbottom's parents arrived in Tonopah County Airport early Thursday from their home in Sunny Rest, Minnesota. Red Weltbottom said he wanted to thank the FBI and the Sheriff's Department for making the visit possible, so we have a better understanding of what's going through his mind and what is happening. Juxtaplu County Sheriff Penisilong said Weltbottom did not seem upset that his father had turned him in. "I think he understands. I don't think there are any ill feelings there at all," the sheriff said. "It was an emotional goodbye, father and son sharing Hostess cupcakes." The sheriff added, "I think as each moment goes by, the consequences are starting to set in for Frank. I think he is beginning to realize just how harmful chicken pot pies can be to the normal citizenry of this country, especially citizens unable to deal with the rigors of reheating homemade pot pies of any kind." Salong said Weltbottom was headed for California when he was arrested, but couldn't for the life of him figure out why he, or anyone for that matter, would want to go there.
The name Lyman's House is the place that we practice, and it's halfway between West Des Moines and Waterloo.
I've been looking for something new. Waiting for a girl like you. I've been waiting around such a long time. I've been waiting for you to complicate my mind. I've been waiting for something new. I've been walking around in a day. I feel my whole life is in a haze. I can't seem to find my way home. Yeah.
As Gator Bait 4 years ago. Jeff and I played in high school together, but then we reunited with Gator Bait. So total years is probably about 22 years we've actually all played together. The last, at Lyman's house, has been the last year.
But really about 6 years we've played together.
This time.
Guitar and sing.
My baby walked in with a rolling pin in hand. She said, now why don't you do some work? Why don't you be a real man? And I said, baby, 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 why can't you see? I'm busy right now. I'm watching TV. I can't take it no more. My baby's yelling at me.
I'm the drummer.
Thank you. as soon as she left the room, I grabbed another beer. I can't take it no more. My baby's yelling at me. Watching monster truck pulls and laying on the couch. I can't understand why my baby's such a grouch. But much to my surprise and much to my dismay, I can't find the remote. My baby took it away. I can't take it no more. My baby's yelling at me. I can't take it. My baby's sticking tongue yelling and screaming. I can't take it. I don't think I could take it no more.
Greatest place we ever played at is Shad's in Waterloo.
What you've just been listening to is a band named Lyman's House, and I believe I had the pleasure of world premiering them right here on the Weekend Geek, exclusively on Spankwagon Audio. Back to you, Trencher.
Spankwagon?
But who at will randomly looks up the word funk, fuck, and chunk?
Don't know, man. I guess you have a fetish for fat women.
Fuck chunk.
I actually saw a phone sex ad for that one time.
Phone sex for fat women?
For fat women. It's like Jabba the Slut says, find a fold and fuck it.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Not Spankwagon.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It could be.
Be quiet.
Spankwagon Radio. This is your captain speaking. Smoke them if you got them.
We're back. Spankwagon Radio, spankwagon.m3.net. Oh, yeah, radio, live. Hey, just a couple more bits of news to cover. First off, I want to say thank you, Kilroy, wherever you are. I can't wait to get your next Weekend Geek, probably sometime later on this year. But definitely liked that band. They were pretty good, and definitely liked his news story, the Chicken Pot Pie. Some old man, 90-some-odd years old, if I remember correctly, yet his parents were alive. Cryogenics. That's all I'm going to say. It really does work, because if you're 90-some-odd years old and your parents are alive, then there's some funky shit going on. Real quick, though, the pipe bomber, that kid from, up in Minnesota, that's Canada, but I like some of the things that they actually, they wrote about him here. I found this in the Waterloo Courier. Yes, Waterloo, Iowa, my old hometown. The wonderful 13-page newspaper that doesn't have much news. But anyhow, this is what they said. This is what one of the police officers said here. He's a quiet, polite, well-behaved, well-mannered kind of kid. When I talked with him, he shook my hand and called me sir. And this is the sheriff, I guess, who have arrested him in Reno. I like that. Basically, he confessed to making 24 pipe bombs out of tape, paper clips, and Christmas tree bulbs. Mind you, they don't mention anything about explosives. You might want to figure maybe some black powder in there or something that can ignite. I don't know, nitroglycerin, gasoline. I mean, come on. Can we assume that all bombs are made out of tape, paper clips, and Christmas tree bulbs? If that was the case, you fucking open up someone's closet. You've got a bomb shed right there. Just Unabombers everywhere. Check some of the guys' garage. I'm sure they got tape and Christmas tree lights and paper clips. Speaking of Christmas tree lights, when you hear the Flying J segment, I got to give you a little bit of warning on that one. Back to this, though. I love this. They also said that it appears to me that he suffers from some apparent mental health problems. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Is that so? Oh my god, let's think about this. This dude wanted to make a giant smiley face on the map by blowing up mailboxes and possibly injuring people. I think Claude said it best at work was homeboy needs to lay off the whole
Fight Club, Project Mayhem sort of thing. So, also, I think this is very funny. You can tell he's from Minnesota, because here this quote in the Courier said that, asked by the judge if he understood that he does not have to make any statement, Helder, the dude, said, most definitely.
Okay.
Asked if he understood that any statements he made can be used against him, he replied, for sure. Rock on. Yeah, totally, dude. You're fucking in jail. Alrighty, folks. Let's see that. I was going to go about this artist freeway prank, but this guy did such a good job of making a fake road sign that people thought it was real, and it actually turned out to be helpful. So, I guess, does that make him an artist? Or does that make him a city worker? Who knows? But they're not getting him in trouble. He's not in trouble for doing this, which is, I find very interesting. Well, folks, I think we're going to play a little bit of tunage. I'm going to play something loud. After that, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear Flying J. Flying J in all of his glory, folks. Now, keep in mind that it is recorded outside. It was recorded on a break, so it was pretty windy. Apologize for the wind right now, but it's one of Flying J's tales. Keep in mind, these are all true. All right, guys, gals, listeners, Reverend Hammer, I'm going to catch you all in a little bit. Play some tunes, Flying J, and then I'll be back.
Spankwagon Audio.
Pussy!
Spankwagon Audio.
Do it.
Tell us about... You have an interesting story.
You have a lot of interesting stuff happened to you.
There was one. You apparently went to a carnival.
Yes. It was actually in Weatherford, Texas. You know, just outside of Fort Worth. And, well, you know, you hear rumors about how carnies are. You know,
yeah.
And I think they're a strange bunch of individuals.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be dead, man, after eating cotton candy and, you know, walking around this stupid carnival. We're about to leave, and this guy comes up on the stairs and goes, "Hey, Phyllis, come here. I'll tell you something." You're like, "Nah, man, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, after a little bit of convincing, that convinced us to go back there. It was me and a couple of friends. And, there's these lights that were hanging, you know.
Like Christmas lights?
Well, they looked like Christmas lights, except they're a little bit bigger than the ones with the bulbs, right? Well, anyways, they were going all the way around one of these stairs. Well, this guy, he goes, "This is so cool, man. Here, check it out." And we got kind of freaked out when he whipped out his cock, all right?
Wait, what?
This yokel whipped out his cock right in front of us. And we're like, "What the fuck are you doing, man? Nah, you must misunderstand, man. We're not into that type of shit." He goes, no, man, check this out, man. He proceeds to unscrew one of the lights, all right?
Okay.
Leaving an empty socket. Okay, now the lights, it's not Christmas lights, okay, because you know how Christmas lights go. If you take out one, they all go out. These all stayed out. You removed one of the lights, and he proceeds to urinate in the socket. Now, Now, all the while, this guy's like, you know, he got the shakes, man. He looked like an epileptic seizure.
So you're telling us he was pissing in that light socket?
He was pissing in the light socket.
Oh, my God.
To our entertainment. And all of a sudden, the lights went out. The stupid ass blew out the friggin' circuit breaker. With that, the guy shakes, resets the breaker, screws the light back in, and says, "Hey, well, that's pretty funny, yeah." We were just looking with this shocked look on our face, like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, man?" So that was our little run-in with a carny.
That's pretty funny.
He didn't even want money. I thought he might have wanted money or something. You know, I thought this was some kind of sick prostitution thing that he was doing. You know, I mean.
Yeah,
you know,
I just find it funny that some dude tells you, "Come here, follow me." You do. He pulls out his dick, and you still stand there.
Yeah.
You were pretty. I mean, did you like his dick?
It was a good size Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any unrealistic expectations when you saw his dick?
No.
Any ejaculations when you saw his dick?
No. I mean, I don't think there was any moving.
But you didn't run.
I didn't run.
Yeah. But then you proceeded to watch him piss in a light socket.
Yes.
And get electrocuted.
Yes.
For fun.
Yes.
And you still fucking stood there.
And, well, the reason why is, I have this lovely story to tell you guys.
Ah, yes. Angry German industrial techno. The stuff dreams are made of. Well, folks, I think I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start wrapping this show up for this evening. Yes, my clicker licker pop. Check out my site and Claude's site as well, because that's where you'll find us, spankwagon.n3.net. By the way, folks, I just wanted to mention something I forgot to mention earlier. If I say mention one more time, I'm going to shoot myself. The gallery. Yes, folks, we finally have the images up from Bad Food. So you can see Claude and I devour food that is not meant for human consumption. Yes, it was our 99-cent smorgasbord buffet, whatever you want to call it. So real quick, I just want to wrap up this show. Thank you very much for listening to Spank Wagon Radio. I'll play one more song, or please let this last song fade out. And if you want to find us on the web, we're at spankwagon.n3.net, which is humbly being served by vftp.net, which, of course, you can find at vftp.net. Ha! If you want to get a hold of anybody who does contribute to Spank Wagon, you can get a hold of us via our emails. You got claudeballs@hotmail.com. Reverend Hammer, that's R-E-V-E-R-E-N-D-H-A-M-M-E-R @yahoo.com. You can also get a hold of me, Trencher, @mac.com. And, of course, kilroyshatemail@yahoo.com. If you want to get these links, you want to get these emails, go ahead and check out the site. They are there, folks. We will be back again. I'll post up the next live date. Remember, we're changing days to a Wednesday. Claude will be back with me, because he sure in the hell isn't here now. And it's much more fun. Then I can go for 2 hours with him. It's kind of nice. But hey, we'll have Claude back here next show. Go ahead, though. If I'm not live, I am in the archive, and you can find me there and download anything you want that has to do with my show. Nowhere, sorry. I'm not a little elite kitty script little weenie. But, of course, you are listening to spankwagon.n3.net, or I should say you're listening to Spank Wagon Radio at spankwagon.n3.net. I am your host, Das Trencher. Now back to your angry German techno-industrial music. I'll catch you later.